I continue our Psalms for the summer. I hope you have found Psalm 100. Often your Bible just opens right up to it because it's one of those favorite Psalms. The context of Psalm 100 must have been a glorious worship experience in the temple. Worshippers, surrounded by worshipers, surrounded by more worshipers in the very presence of God in the temple. Can you picture it just for a moment? That grand temple with all of these who've come together. The opening call to worship, the opening hymn, calling the people, come to worship. Following would be psalms that were sung, voices that were lifted as the voices joined with other voices as a gift to God. There would be praying, prayers of confession, prayers of adoration, prayers of thanks, of supplication, of petition. And all of these acts of worship from the people in the presence of God. Many Old Testament scholars believe that Psalm 100 was sung in connection with a worship service, which would include a completion offerings, which were given in thanksgiving for the beneficence of God. And yet, surely Psalm 100 was even more. My Bible says Psalm 100, a psalm for giving grateful praise. And yet Psalm 100 for me is another one of those psalms that it's just too big to begin to analyze. And yet it's a simple hymn. And perhaps that simplicity is what has made it so enduring and so everlasting and so difficult to analyze. Remember when I shared Psalm 23, I had those same feelings. It was just, maybe we just accept it, enjoy it, and share it as a gift of God, God's Word. The Brodmann commentary, of all the different readings that I've read, maybe sums it up best. The writer said, simply yet vividly, this psalm says to us, God is God. We are His. He is ever good. Let us worship and praise Him. Let us give Him thanks. Thanks. I'm reminded of this little 7-year-old boy who went to a birthday party for his friend. When his mother came to pick him up after the party, she said to him, "Now, Walker, did you tell Johnny's mother thank you for the party?" And Walker said, "Well, I was going to, but the guy in front of me said thanks, and Johnny's mom said don't mention it, so I didn't." Now here's the horror of that. We all tend to be a lot like Walker, and that is a frightening comment. We know we should thank God. And we know we can always thank God, and we mean to thank God. And in November, that third or fourth week, as Thanksgiving comes, we do pause to thank God. But most of the time, we just don't mention it. We don't thank God enough. I'm sure you don't watch The Simpsons. It's not worth watching. It's been around since 1989. It's an adult animated sitcom. It's a terrible show. My kids always wanted to watch it, and I wouldn't let them because it was too close to home. But there is one episode one episode where Homer Simpson is praying, which was pretty novel. He was praying desperately to God. The reason he was praying, this huge tornado was coming towards Homer Simpson's home. His humble abode, here was the tornado. And so Homer Simpson falls on his knees and he begins praying to God. Dear God, Simpson prays, dear God, please save me. Save me and my family from this tornado. God, if you will save us from this tornado, God, I'll go to church. God, I'll be nice to my kids. Some of my kids. God, I'll be nice to my wife. God, I'll give up drinking beer. God, I'll, and then in the midst of it, the hand of God on this cartoon comes down, literally the hand of God, and picks up the tornado. Homer Simpson is still on the ground looking up. The tornado goes and he says, oh God, never mind, the tornado's gone and I do love my beer. So the object is, we often fail to acknowledge even when God does work. Not only are we a lot like Walker, we're a lot like Homer Simpson. We see God's working and we know God's working, and even occasionally we acknowledge that God is moving and working. But in the back of our mind, or maybe it's in the bottom of our heart, we say, okay, that's good of God, but we're who we are, and you know, we're surviving pretty good, and if God wasn't around, we could still do it, because look at all that we have done. Look at all, we went to school and we got a degree and we provide for our family. We've got this, and if we don't say it, we sure live like it. We began to say, we're not like those Bible people. Those Bible people who were always singing songs of praise. Those Bible people that we read about always worshiping and bringing their songs and their words of thanksgiving. That's okay in the Bible, but that's not where we are today. So why do we offer praise and thanks to God? Why are the Psalms especially filled, 150 of them, not all Psalms of thanks and praise as we've seen, but why? Why are there so many words of praise and thanks? Why do we need to thank God? Well, the Psalms are filled with examples. Psalm 9. The reason Psalm 9 gives for thanking God is for the goodness of God and the justice of God and the providence of God. Psalm 9, verse 1, I give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will praise you for all your wonderful deeds. The psalmist said, God, you are good and you are worthy to be praised, and I thank you. I'm glad for Psalm 9, for God's goodness is still abundant all around us, and we, like the psalmist, do need to give thanks for God's goodness. Psalm 30, the psalmist in Psalm 30 pauses to thank God for healing of illness. The psalmist said, oh Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You even brought me up from the grave. You spared me. Be careful, because often we pray for that healing, and the healing doesn't happen in the way or the time that we think it should, and we think God is abandoned, but he has not, for God's healing doesn't always look like we think it should. Psalm 30 has that passage, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. God brings morning even in the midst of darkness. Psalm 32, I shared last week, gives us a good reason why we ought to give thanks. The psalmist said, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count." You want a good reason on why to offer thanks to God? If for no other reason, God has forgiven your sin. In Christ, that God offers forgiveness. If we didn't have anything else, we should join the psalmist and say, "I thank God that sins, when confessed, are forgiven." Oh, I could go on and on. Psalm 40, I think I'll preach on it next week. I've been reading it this week. The psalmist gives thanks to God because the psalmist has been freed from despair and despondency and depression. Psalm 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord. And the Lord turned to me and he heard my cry. And he lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the muck and the mire, and he put my feet on a rock. And he gave me a firm place to stand, and he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God." The psalmist in Psalm 40 got it that God, the provider, God who brought freedom. But wait, today I was supposed to preach on Psalm 100, and I read Psalm 40 and Psalm 9 and Psalm 32. Why does Psalm 100? It's titled "A Psalm for Giving Grateful Praise." Why? Why does Psalm 100 say we should praise? It begins, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." But why? Verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his outer courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." But why? And there it is, verse 3 and verse 5. "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his." We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Why do we pause and thank God? Why do we give thanks? We do so because he is God and he is good. John, our music minister, it's kind of a slob in the kitchen. I just need you to know that. We have a wonderful new break room in our office. We make coffee. Sometimes we find your leftover donuts from Sunday and we eat them on Monday. We have a wonderful, wonderful break room. And we all take turns making coffee. I make it usually first because I'm here bright and early. And then as the others wander in, they tend to make other coffee because I've already had most of the coffee. And so John, we have those wonderful Folgers packs. They're all the filter, the coffee, you just put it in, pour in the water. We have a bun coffee maker. It makes coffee like in a minute and a half. David Ornsby, trying to save 10 cents, bought this cheap coffee that you rip open and those coffee grounds go everywhere. And before he could return it because he messed up, John came in one day a few weeks ago and ripped open that coffee thing and grabbed a filter. But it wasn't a bun filter. It was a Mr. Coffee filter, and they're very short. And he threw one or two of those coffee packs in there, poured the water in, and, of course, he walked away. So then we all walk in there to get coffee, and I tell you, it is like a volcano has erupted. The coffee maker, the grounds are pouring forth coffee, and coffee muck and mire is running down between the counter and the new refrigerator, down the front of the drawers, everywhere there's coffee and coffee grounds. And John, I scream, and John says, oh, come on, guys, let's all gather together. This will be so much fun. Let's all do this and clean this up. And then he disappeared, and Delise cleaned it up. And that's about as factual as anything I've said today. It was overflowing, and it just kept on. You think that one little pot of coffee, it just overflowed, and it reminded me of God's blessings. God's blessings. The 23rd Psalm says, and my cup runneth over with God's blessing. Psalm 100 reminds me that God's blessings always, from generation to generation, from time to time, just overflow. So why doesn't my thankfulness overflow as well? He is God, and He is good. Give thanks. I want you to hear, you know I love the Message translation, Eugene Peterson. It's always so fresh. I read the 23rd Psalm several weeks ago from the King James Version. Simply listen to Psalm 100 from the Message. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into His presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us. We didn't make Him. We're His people, His well-tended sheep. Here's the password: enter by saying thank you. Make yourself at home, talking praise. Thank Him. Worship Him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. He is God, and He is good. Give thanks. Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for being God, and God, God. Thank you, God, for being good, for providing, for healing, for saving, for forgiving, for loving, for being gracious, for being faithful, for forgiving again, and loving some more. Oh God, we have been given by You so much. You called us. You loved us. You created us. You provide for us. We get so busy, I guess, or we become so selfish that we just don't have time. We don't mention it. Shame on us. You desire our praise and our worship, and that praise and that worship must always have a lot of gratitude and thanksgiving. God, forgive us. Forgive us for we have been so slow to say thank you. Forgive us when we just take it for granted. Your love, Your grace, Your forgiveness, Your faithfulness. Forgive us, God. Let us leave here today saying, never again, never again. We will mention it. We will thank God, for He is God. You are God, and You are good. Thank You, God. Thank You. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.